On this episode of Better Rider, my good buddy Dave Donatoni and I talk about the trials and tribulations of teaching someone that you care about, whether it's your wife, child, girlfriend. It can be tricky, and you're going to get a couple of nuggets on this episode. Hey, I'm Jimmy Lewis.
And I'm Dave Donatoni.
And this is the Better Rider Podcast. So when we do this podcast, we hope to give you some nuggets of knowledge. And at the end, maybe even a riding tip nugget. But we're going to talk about today. Dave is my longtime riding buddy. We've been riding, well, we were riding together for a long time before we knew we were riding together because we were racing against each other.
That's right.
We were sizing each other up. We kind of came from different areas, but we used to practice at the same practice track. And so, long riding history. And the other thing I'm going to bring up is Dave brought his girlfriend to our riding school a couple of years ago. And we're going to kind of talk about how it's better to have somebody else teach somebody you care about, whether it's a child or your wife or your girlfriend or your buddy or whatever. If you want to have I've always said, if you want to have a stable relationship, try not to teach that person. Have somebody else do the teaching because it doesn't always go that well. And for sure, Heather and I have really good stories about this. And luckily, she was able to put up with my ignorance during that phase.
Yeah, I think it is better to have somebody else do the teaching because otherwise they don't seem to listen as well. And they don't seem to, they get tired of listening to you or they get tired of what you're telling them and they stop trying.
Yeah, or they have a method that it may not be stop trying. It may just be ignore or get pissed off or cry or there might be yelling.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you haven't made any progress because they didn't learn anything.
Yeah, and you want to teach them and you kind of know. Maybe you do, but that's why if it's riding, I'm good because I'm a professional at teaching riding. If we were gonna teach like how to, I don't know, groom a dog, I'm the wrong person.
Exactly.
So, if this is something I wanted to do, I'd go find a professional. But that's what we do on our schools. You can always check us out at www.jimmylewisoffroad.com. That's where our schools are listed when we have them available. They oftentimes sell out. And then there's definitely the seasons in the summer when we don't have schools because it's too hot. But we do travel, do some events. Oftentimes, like the Tour Tech Rally, the KTM Adventure Rider Rally, which is back on for 2022 again. There'll probably be some information about that soon. And we also have a training outfit up in Washington State called Sisyphus Cycles. So if you're interested in getting some training during the summer months in the Pacific Northwest, check out sisyphuscycles.com as well. So Dave and I were we were out practicing just a minute ago. We were goofing around. Well, we're mostly goofing around.
Yeah, we weren't really wearing all of our gear.
No. And it's funny because we're both expert level motorcycle riders, been riding for a long time, although I think I've devolved down to an intermediate because when I see the guys that are really good and I don't practice enough to have that reflex and timing and coordination. So a lot of times I just goof around on a motorcycle and I was on not an old OSA. It's probably the last OSA they ever made, but it's kind of a hybrid trials bike. And I was practicing wheeling or wheel lofting and trying to ride as slow of a wheelie as I could. But what I was really working on was my setting the rear brake against the throttle and trusting, that I could release the brake a little bit. So it's almost like if you were driving a race car where you're using 2 feet driving.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's kind of that same technique where I'm using my wrist against my rear brake because I'm using the rear brake to prevent it from going back too much, but also maybe to give it a little bit of burst of power because sometimes you don't need, like the throttle might be too much and you can catch it with the brake or you can release the brake a little bit.
Yeah, there's a fine line between throttle and braking, and that's what I'm trying to figure out because you're hitting that balance point with the throttle and the brake, and there's only a small balance point where it's right, and then
yeah.
The rest of the time you're you're fighting it a little bit. I'm trying to learn how to not fight it.
Yeah, and it's a point where you start letting the front wheel go a little bit forward, you know, and that'll allow the bike to pick up. But then if it starts falling too much, you got to bring it back up, and maybe you don't want to accelerate.
Yeah, and then sometimes you've accelerated the gear you're in, and then the wheel's going back onto the ground.
Yeah, and this is just putting around, going slow, but it's like, we're talking
5 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, well, what about, I want to learn wheelies. That's one of the biggest things people want. I want to learn wheelies. And I'm like, I want to teach you how to loft the wheel. Like, anytime I want my front wheel to come up, it comes up, and it comes up to the level mostly where I want it to. And what I'm working on now is that balance point, which is, it's hard to practice.
You have to practice it because you don't just learn it naturally.
Correct. And the other thing, and this is where I was getting on Dave when he was doing it, because he was able to do it all day long with both of his feet down, like dragging his feet. And it's just like,
that's cheating.
It's so counterintuitive to not want to put, you know, both your feet down, but if you put your foot down, you don't have control of the brake anymore.
Exactly.
And then you think about it when you're wheeling and you want to turn to the right side where the brake is, you have to lean the bike that way. But when you lean that direction, you want to put your foot down or out.
Exactly.
And because you can't, because you got to control the brake.
Yeah. And so it's really hard to stay straight with one foot on the brake and the other foot kind of out for balance. That's very difficult.
And so this is super high level stuff, but it's extremely important to practice it. And the only way that you can get better at it is by practicing and taking the time to do something. And it's funny because we turn it into a game. You know, we play around like who can wheelie longer, and then you start like wheeling, like trying to wheel off and trying to turn to the right or trying to ride down the path as opposed to doing it on two wheels, which should be no problem. But now it's like, let's see if we can do it on one wheel.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we've both been riding for 50 years or close to it. And it's hard for us. We're experienced riders, but we don't practice it that much, so it's not that easy.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing to know.
And by practicing this, it just pays off dividends when you're out on the trail and you come up to a log, or if you accelerate out of a turn and your front end comes up and you know, so you're on the rear wheel, and then you know how to balance and control it. And you're all of a sudden it's like, oh, the front wheel's up. The bike doesn't turn anymore. Well, no, it will turn based on what you do. So
yeah,
high level stuff practiced to, you know, but practiced. And that's what it all comes down to, is a lot of times we don't take the time to practice, but that's why I do my goofing around and I'm, you know, work on getting all these practice techniques. So that's one thing. Another thing I was gonna mention is, so when you came to our school, were you kind of, and you kind of came and just watched, because I'm like, what am I going to teach you? You're like an old dog. You don't need any new tricks.
Right. I mean, I came in there with open eyes and just willing to learn anything I could. And so that was, it was interesting to see and watch the way you taught. That was very interesting to me. And I absorbed and I did gain some information that helped me.
Yeah. I'm kind of blown away when I can get a good high level rider to come and, you know, I know they don't feel like you need the class, but they come and take the class, and then they start realizing that there's things that, oh, hey, I could do this. And a lot of it's stuff that you go, well, I've never practiced, I'm good at this, but I've never practiced it. But when you practice something that you're good at, guess what?
You get better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Just like brakes, you know, it's like all the time I'm still, because I do it when I do teach the schools, I practice because I'm demonstrating and do it. But then even when I'm just out riding, a lot of times I'm out riding and, you know, it's not that great or interesting. I'll run through a couple of my brakes, you know, really work on my brakes, feel the brakes, see if I can, you know, I'll pick something as I'm riding along and can I stop before that?
Yeah.
And kind of push the limit and take an out of control situation, put it into a controlled environment, because I don't have to stop. It's not like I'm coming up to the edge of a cliff. I'm coming up to like that tree stump and I'm going to slow down to almost a stop before I get to that tree stump. And whoops, I blew past it. Well, that wouldn't have been a good day.
Yeah. If I really had to stop, then there would have been in trouble. So it's good to learn what it takes to be able to stop in time and practice it.
Yeah. So we, you know, and this is even at my level, at his level, we're always you know, taking the time to practice it. And even when I go, like, mostly when I go to like a motocross track, I find that I'm lacking in something. And it's like, oh, do I need to go to a motocross school? It might help, but I also go, it's not this thing. It's like, I'm out of balance, or I'm not slowing the bike down. I'm trying to go fast and not worrying about my technique. And so net, I'm making mistakes and doing things wrong. And from learning all the stuff that I teach and understanding all the stuff that I teach, you realize how important some of those basic techniques. And then I don't need to go to the motocross school. I know that what I'm doing, it's slow down, do the steps, you know, think about it, you know, am I accelerating? Am I decelerating? I'm initiating a turn, or am I controlling a turn? What am I doing? Where am I having my problem? And generally I'm trying to blend two things together that I shouldn't. I should isolate, yeah. Simplify.
Yeah. And I know when I was racing, I practiced a lot. And I practiced going pretty slow, turning mainly, because that was where you made up the most of the time in a race. And when I was racing, I would talk to myself through the track, and I would tell myself what I was supposed to do, because even though it should come naturally, talking to yourself, or at least it helped me get through it and helped me stay smooth and relaxed and remembered what to do.
Yeah, I know when I raced, I didn't really... you're always pushing for those little like second here, second there and stuff. And so for me, I guess I would talk to myself, because like, okay, we're going to break a little bit later here. We're going to make sure I get on the brakes a little bit harder here so I can make sure I'm ready to do this turn. And that was on just the nuts and bolts of it. But most of my brain power was focused on picking better lines, looking for,
that's important, but that comes to, let's say you're coming into a corner and you're telling yourself, look ahead, dummy. And by doing that, you see the better line.
Yeah. You're not so wrapped up in what you're doing. Okay. So, hey, back to, so when Kelly came to our class, she was novice.
Yeah. She's novice.
Very, very, very novice at that time. And, what were her takeaways? Cause she was definitely riding mountain bikes a lot and got the mountain bike.
Yeah, she's good on a mountain bike, but on a motorcycle, she never really, like, had the right technique for certain things, like braking and balance was a main thing, learning how to stay centered on the bike, front to back, left to right, and that's something that she really learned at your school.
Yeah, and that's something that I think we kind of harp on, that there's not, like, everybody says, well, what's the proper body position for this or that? And then people go, well, in that you're supposed to get back. And this, but you need to get forward, like uphill, you're supposed to get forward. And I'm like, no, you kind of want to be centered.
Neutral.
You don't want to have any weight on your hands. You want to have your weight on your feet if you're standing up. And if you're sitting down, you want to be able to, you know, you're not falling forward on the bike or back on the bike. And we spend a fair amount of time, working on basically trying to get you to loosen up on the handlebars, which puts you in a more balanced riding position. So how did that work out?
So it worked out really well for her. She really practiced again after she learned what she learned at your school. She took that and practiced it. And by knowing what to practice, it made her way better.
Yeah. Did it help that somebody else that you paid told her the same things you were trying to tell her?
Oh, absolutely. It makes a huge difference to put somebody in a professional setting. They learn a lot more than just learning from their spouse or their friend. It just seems to come off better. And you learn more in a situation like that.
She never barked back at me.
Yeah,
we're teaching. Heather used to, but that was a long time ago. Now it's if I tell Heather something, usually I don't have to tell her about the motorcycle. Usually we're doing something and we'll pull over and we're riding and she'll go, I need to do this, and she coaches herself, or she actually what she does she says that to me to get me to shut up. Oh. So I don't say it to her because she already knows.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah, like my girlfriend now, she'll go mountain biking with her girlfriends and she'll tell them, oh, you got to put some weight on that outside peg. And this is, you know, lean the bike. And she says, I learned this at a riding school for motorcycle riding. And it also applies to bicycle riding as well. And so she's really learned a lot and she's really like proud of what she's learned and she likes to share it.
I wish because I'm horrible on the mountain bike and I'm still trying to figure it out because I understand the way the motorcycle stuff works, but when the pedals are moving and they're constantly in different places and that's actually providing the power, I think it changes. I need to find someone that's really good at breaking down the basics of the mountain bike stuff, because I'd like to see how they explain this, because on the motorcycle you're definitely putting, you know, weight in the foot pegs, but it's not power. And I compensate so much. I mean, so the second most important thing once you're after, you know, your balance and your traction is throttle control and throttle. And I use the throttle so much. And for me, when I'm on a mountain bike, I think that the throttle is a pedal.
Yeah.
And so momentum carries a much, it's much more valuable on the mountain bike sometimes.
Yeah.
But with momentum, I don't have that burst of power sometimes that I think I need.
They're so different. And that's the thing. You can take a top level moto guy and put him on a bicycle and he's not a top level mountain bike guy.
That's right away. Well, just even in the bike control aspect
in
of
general,
it, let alone the lungs.
Yeah.
And the
muscles. We're talking about controlling and it's just, the technique is different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you spend a shit ton of time on the bicycle.
I do.
How do you think that those two things compare?
They don't really work the same. Like on a bicycle, you're going to keep your body level and you're going to lean the bicycle underneath you. Where on the motorcycle, you're staying lined up on the motorcycle. So it's actually different techniques, and that's why it's hard for.
Yeah, kind of.
You
can do that when you can put the motorcycle down, but you don't have to do it nearly to, I don't think, the same level.
It's a very huge extreme if you compare the two, or the cycling, where you completely lean the bike and keep your body level, where the motorcycle, you're kind of staying in line with it most of the time. Sometimes you'll counterbalance, you know, you will do that, but not nearly as much as you do on a bicycle.
Yeah. And then as far as just like, you know, steering it and stuff, is it still like on the motorcycle, I want to steer it without using my hands. You know, I want to steer it with the lean. Is it the same on the bicycle?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just hate it when you start going up a hill and you run out of power on the bicycle. That's why I got an e-bike.
Yeah. Well, you got smart.
it's right when my feet just cross over, when there are ones at the bottom and ones at the top, it's that next, you know, few degrees is where man, the e-bike is like
just trying to get over top dead center.
Yeah, huh? just pushing that thing down. I mean, you got to have the leg strength, and I think that's where, you know, guys that are really good, where they know how to time that, when, you know, they shuffle the pedals when they're coming up to something technical, so they're in the proper, their feet are in the proper position to give them boost. You know, it's like having your bike in the right gear or having the right throttle position.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it just comes from being strong, and just sometimes it just doesn't even matter where your feet are. It's just having the power to ride through.
Yeah. So another thing we have in our class that's interesting is when we get bicycle people, they like to run their levers down quite a bit.
Yeah, that's, I've never understood that.
Okay, so you don't do this on your bicycle. Your levels are more moto position.
Yeah, I run them as just the same as moto, straight out in front of me.
So this is crazy. So is it because you came from moto and went to bicycles?
So my theory is that usually if I'm hard on the brakes, I'm leaning back and I have to have the levers straight out in front of me.
Yes.
And I'm not standing up over the front of the bike with my weight on the front tire when I'm braking. That's not how you're...
You get back and your wrists, you know, to angle your levers down really low, your wrists get bent.
Yeah.
And then if you do get on the brake strong, your wrists are going to fold forward.
And you're too far forward and you lose traction.
Yeah, you're losing traction from being forward. Interesting. Yeah. So I can just say now when mountain bike guys come, when they have their levers hanging down, I can just tell them they're completely wrong even for mountain bikes?
Yeah.
You're good with this?
100%.
Okay, all the mountain bike guys are just hating on me right now.
Yeah, then not all of them are liking me either, but
yeah,
that's I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
This is the reason they allow you to adjust them and put them in different positions like this on things.
Yeah.
Is so you can get yourself comfortable. And it does make a big difference
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. And, you know, how you're articulating. Remember when all the moto guys were running their levers up high?
Yeah.
You know, because they all had broken wrists and they wanted to get way the hell back, way back to where their arms were taking the pressure off of their wrists.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's all different kinds of – it's amazing what you can do on setups. So, you know, Dave has, interestingly enough, you have a couple of techniques that I've admired over the years. And one of them involves riding in very low traction situations, like less than sand. I'm talking about snow or super gooey, slimy mud.
Snow and ice and mud.
Yeah, you have two techniques that actually one we'll talk about the second one later, but the second one applies especially to this because you let the knuckleheads do most of the work first. But so this technique is what do you want to try to explain it?
Yeah, I mean what I like to do is get the bike into a very high gear if I'm in the snow and there's no traction. So I suggest fourth gear works the best in most situations.
Right.
And you just get it spinning and you just hold her wide open if you can and use that momentum of the back wheel to get you through.
So right when you start losing traction, you just start banging shifts, get it up into the high gear.
Keep grabbing gears.
Get it spinning.
Yeah.
Now, from teaching and learning some different things, do you have any idea why this might work other than the wheel's just hauling ass and it's grabbing?
I just know that that's the way you can keep momentum. And if you try to go at a lower gear, you're not going to gain momentum. And so
because you don't have the wheel speed.
You don't have the wheel speed.
Yeah, it all at that point, like especially in snow, it really comes down to wheel speed because it's basically cutting, you know, it's cutting the snow in front of you and pulling it out. And the knobs, like if you're not moving, if you don't have your momentum, you're not moving forward, it has nothing to grab onto.
That's right.
And when you're in a low gear, it has so much power at the higher RPM without the wheel speed.
Yeah. That you're not gaining anything. Yeah. I mean, and so it's different. Cause like, let's say you're like going up a dirt road.
It actually bogs down when you're in fourth gear, it bogs down and loads up and actually starts pushing you.
It starts to grab.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is what we tell people in the sand. A lot of times the gear high will help it get going. Cause it helps the bike kind of hydroplane, you know, aquaplane
the same thing. If you can grab a couple of gears and get some momentum, you can get up on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're floating and then you're not, and your front end isn't digging as much and everything's not digging as much.
Yeah. And then you're able to keep balance. Cause as soon as you can get a little momentum, then the balance is easier to keep as well. Yeah.
So my theory on this, why this works is when the traction is low, if you have too much power, the power is going to take the traction out from underneath you, whether it's sand, mud, it's going to shoot it out as opposed to try to bog into it. And so you would actually be better at a lower throttle position in the lower gear, but it doesn't have the wheel speed that you need
to get everything going. Yeah.
And then you and another friend of mine named Jack Labrum, who used to be in my Ventura County Motorcycle Club, you guys had this technique where we get to something difficult and you would tell everybody that, what would you do?
Well, I would never offer to go first if it looked, although, and so by doing that, you could see the other person go, obviously. And if he went up it and made it look easy, it's like, okay, no problem. But if he struggled and had a hard time, you're like, huh, I see what he did wrong. And you're like, okay, it's my turn. Yeah. And you were able to, use that experience from watching him to get a better
whether they made it or not
you could use that
if they didn't make it, that didn't work, I'm not going to do that,
I'm going to try something different. And so that was always a great way to go because you'd use so much less energy, you'd let the other guy burn himself up. And then you'd be like, okay.
I remember a lot of times we'd get to something and you go, I don't think you can do that. Like, what? Really?
But that was
it. And I'm going, you don't think so? I'm like, no, you probably couldn't. And then it was a game. Because I'm
not. But it was a game. It was part of the game.
And then it was, I'm like, oh, really? And you go, you want me to go first?
And I'm like, no, I got it. No way I'm going to take the step back.
It was, you took the bait.
Yeah. That got played on me way too many times. Yeah. And, especially when there was it's really fun when there's a group of five or six of us. And it was something that, we're probably going to have to push, pull, yank. It's going to take some help. But there was so many times that, we pulled three or four people up and Dave rides right through it. And he goes, made that thing look really hard.
Yeah, I just was able to analyze it. I could watch everybody else's mistakes and say, okay, I'm going to try this differently. I'm going to take a different approach. And a lot of the times it worked. It didn't always work.
But it's just something is just picking a little better line or waiting to accelerate to a different spot.
Yeah, just maybe, like we said, lofting that wheel just a little bit.
Seeing something and watching maybe. And what we see over and over again is people are so worried about that thing, whatever it is. They forget that they're out of balance. They don't worry about getting a good driver acceleration. Yeah. And just some of the basic traits kind of fall out of the skill set, and then it becomes more difficult. And this is something that you also, as a novice rider riding with more advanced riders, and a lot of times when I ride over something difficult, when I'm riding with somebody I know that's not as good, I don't stop anymore. I used to stop, but if I stop and look back, they're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, because they all of a sudden feel like it's going to be harder than it really should be.
Right. And so sometimes maybe it's better if you're a little bit more advanced to not stop because it freaks them out. Or if you are the novice person and you see something that's like a little bit technical, and I always tell you, it's like, hey, if you're worried about it, then just stop. Don't try to do something. But if you have the opportunity to pay attention to how they're doing it, just analyze it and really pay attention to where they're doing their acceleration. We find that novice riders try to go through stuff a lot faster sometimes than the expert guys because they're out of balance and they think they need this momentum.
Right.
But they're out of balance and they need the momentum to keep them balanced, but they're not getting traction.
Yeah, they're approaching it already out of control.
Yeah, can't control the bike.
Momentum's important, but too much momentum is a big mistake.
Right, yeah. You can always, if you're balanced and everything, you can accelerate and gain momentum for the most part when you have the need. So, yeah, it's so this is what I learned from you. You said, "Hey,
I'm not sure. Yeah,
I'm not sure if you can make
that's really rideable." It's like, yeah. Oh, really? Let me give it a try. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and then the few times, well, it was definitely a few times when you'd make it and have to come back down, and I'd done it a couple times or whatever, and made it first try, and you'd go, I won't believe the view from the top.
I can remember there was a couple of times like that, and it's definitely it's fun. It's a fun thing to do to your buddy.
And I've turned the tail. Luckily, as you've gotten older, and I still had some of that youth and enthusiasm, I was able to turn that back.
Yeah, you did. You were able to play the game as well. Quite well.
How about the time the clutch cable exploded and I couldn't figure why you wouldn't ride up the hill?
Oh my gosh! It's like. That was the weirdest thing, but the sheath basically on the clutch cable broke.
Yeah.
And so there was you could not use the clutch. And this hill that we were going up was sandy.
You needed to bang some shifts.
You had to be in a high gear. And so you needed to use the clutch every now and then to blip it to keep the revs up, or you would lose momentum and you wouldn't make it.
Or to make the downshifts.
Or
yeah, because you couldn't let the throttle off the bottom because it was so deep.
You'd have to hold it wide open. You'd use the clutch a couple times to get it spinning again, but if you couldn't use that clutch to keep
amplify
it spinning,
amplify
the power, you weren't going to make it. And so, yeah, that was something else.
I came down, my arms were flapping up and down like, Dave, what happened?
Yeah, what's the matter with you? I thought you knew how to ride a motorcycle. And I'm like, here, you go ahead and try it.
Yeah, you said the clutch doesn't work. This is before I talked to you. What do you need the clutch for? Just hold it wide open.
Yeah.
Well, I found out what you needed the clutch for because I didn't really, this is the problem with being a really high-level rider is you don't even realize what the hell you're doing. I didn't realize that I was doing those things with the clutch. I'm like, I can hold it wide open. And then just the fact that I had to blip it to downshift, because I was going to show you. I was going to ride your bike up on top of the hill. Three tries, came back down. I'm like, dude, sorry.
Yeah. I made it to about where you made it.
I think you made it a little bit higher, actually. Yeah, I want to say you made it a little bit higher. I was kind of pickled. That whole thing was, but we fixed it. What did we do? We wrapped like tape and then wire and sheet.
We had baling wire, like, you know, like a wire you would use to like tie rebar together. I always keep a little bit of that with me.
Yeah.
And we made our own sheath with some sticks and wire.
And so here's the interesting thing. If you read my Dirt Rider columns back in the day, when I wrote a column, like, it was called Jimmy Rigged, and Dave's nickname is Rigatoni. And between the two of us, if we are stuck someplace, like we've never been stranded. No. We fixed a lot of weird things. And remember, we made fuel injection line out of gas, like out of vent hose.
Out of a vent
with,
hose.
With tape and some other stuff.
Yeah, we both always carry a pretty decent amount of tools and spared things, tape, wire,
but
zip ties.
Robbed things from other parts.
We know how to grab something that's maybe not as necessary at, like, the moment.
Remember the stuff that came out of the flask that went in the breaker, the hydraulic clutch reservoir?
And it worked.
It worked, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder where my love of tequila started. So, anyways, so yeah, that's our thing. So I think we gave away the nugget. The riding tip nugget was the next time you have to go through snow, you know, and especially if it's kind of soft, high gear, fourth gear. Yeah.
Fifth, if you can get it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
fourth. But no clutch. Yeah. Just work the throttle.
Yeah. Just
you can hold it wide, but if it's spinning too much, you can back it down and you want it to just, I would say, bog its way into traction.
Yeah. What the whole idea is to get some speed, and then you can back out of it a little bit to try to feel it grab.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is to get that momentum with that high spinning tire.
And don't hit anybody else's rut.
And yeah, exactly. It's always helpful to have your own line.
So right on. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening in. Thanks for supporting this podcast. Go ahead and share it with your buddies that need to learn how to, whether it's from wheel lofting. Hey, another thing. So we were not doing these wheel lofts on like a Husaberg 570 or big bikes or even the KTM 200. What were you riding?
I was riding a CRF 100.
Yeah, and I was riding a OSA 250, which is essentially a trials bike with a seat on it.
Yeah.
So another thing, it's really good to practice on smaller, lighter bikes.
Yeah, because you're much more willing to take a little more of a chance with that small bike because you can just step off.
Yeah, especially if they're inexpensive, you can step off, but your weight has more influence on it, so you're actually working on yourself more than what the bike is doing. Net, it yields more results, and then as you get good with it, then you try it on the next bike, and then you try it on the next bike because you taught yourself how to do it. Now you go teach the bike.
Uh-huh.
So there's a second nugget. Two nuggets in this show. It was a good one. So with that, we're going to sign off, and we will see you out in the trail. Cheers. No matter where you're at in your riding ability, if you want to get better, we can help. Check out www.jimmylewisoffroad.com for our current schedule of classes, and we have an online beginner rider program that almost anybody can benefit, especially a first-time rider.